I'm honored to be back with you. I got a text from your dear beloved pastor this morning that he's going to be praying for the service this morning. I was tempted to text him back and go, oh, was that today? But anyway, he's under a lot of stress, so he probably didn't need that. Beloved, I want to compliment you for being here this morning. Good crowd on a nice rainy day that only Noah and the ark and the animals would like. And I appreciate y'all being here this morning. Also, I'm honored to have my lovely wife and my daughter with me this morning. Vivian and Caitlin are here, and she's going back to Camelsville this day, swimming and unloading everything, get ready for the next semester. But I'm honored to be with you, back with you. I dearly, dearly admire what God's doing with and through you and your beloved pastor. And I want to thank you also, child of God, for taking the love of God seriously to Jonas and his family this month in the Heavenly Home, going of his dad. You're outpouring your love, encouragement, and continue to do so will mean a lot to him. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we're talking about the parable of the persistent widow, or how prayer can encourage us and the importance of prayer, as we're going to glean from this morning. Let's take a moment and talk with our Almighty God. Father, we thank you very much for the opportunity that you've given to us to come into the sanctuary with our family in Christ, our brothers and sisters who, Lord, will encourage us and pray for us, who, Father, we have shared our concerns with, our joys, and our griefs. And we thank you, Father, that we have a support system here at this campus. We thank you, Father, for the rain. And, Father, that we have a safe place to worship you, a dry place to worship you. We pray, Father, for Jonas and those who are at camp, that you keep them in your care, watch over and protect them. And also that you be with those who are continuing to struggle with grief, Lord, and the loss of loved ones recently. We heard this morning. We pray, Father, that you would comfort them as only you can. For you know their hearts. You know what they're experiencing, what they're feeling. And we pray, Father, that you would indeed surround them with your compassion. And we pray, Father, for our missionaries and those who are taking the time in this month to the travel of France to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, who, Lord, have sent teams over there. We pray, Father, that you would bless their efforts in furthering the cause of Christ with all of those who are gathered from all over the world in Paris. What an opportunity. So we lift them up to you. We ask, Father, that now you would speak to our hearts through your word, through your spirit. And Lord, as these have gathered this day to bring before you their personal prayer requests, Lord, who are looking to you for guidance or hope or instruction or perhaps an answer to a much, much burdened question. Lord, may this be the day, the moment that they hear from you, our living, loving God. And thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for our sins. To you be the glory forevermore. In his name, amen. Beloved, we look at this passage here, Luke chapter 18, and we know basically from experience that prayer is important to us. And the disciples and Jesus were getting near the end of his earthly ministry, and maybe he sensed from them, and as he senses us, there are moments in our lives where we need encouragement. There may be moments in your life this morning where you need encouragement. You've gathered here this morning to talk with God, to listen to God, and you could also use a word of encouragement. Maybe you or maybe somebody you know that's close to you feel discouraged. Life has not gone well for you. This has not been a good week for you in more ways than one. Maybe you're looking to see what could happen in your life. Maybe you just need somewhere to turn. Perhaps you're like the young man in 1835 who went to his doctor in Florence, Italy, and he was feeling exhausted. He had very little sleep. He didn't feel like eating anything. He was just discouraged, and the doctor examined him, gave him a full examination, and determined that there was nothing wrong with him physically. It must be something mentally and emotionally. And so he said to this young man, you should go to the circus in town. There is a clown there who has everybody laughing. He has everybody rolling in the aisles. You should go tonight and go to the circus and hear this young clown. I'm sure that you'll feel better. And the young man looked at him with tears in his eyes, and he said, I'm afraid I can't do that. You see, doctor, I'm that clown. There are those people who desperately need encouragement in their life. So what do you do when you need encouragement? Let me ask you to turn to this passage. And child of God, whenever you feel or face discouragement in your life, let me encourage you to always talk to God first and foremost. Because as you're going to see in this passage here, you talk to a God who loves you. Do you believe that? You talk to a God, that would have been a good place for amen, by the way, but we'll work on that later. You talk to a God who created you. You're praying to a God this morning who knows everything about you, what you're battling, what you brought in here, what you're carrying, the burdens, what are weighing you down. And you also talk to a God who's just, who's going to give you what is best for your life. So let's look at this as the disciples looked at it and heard it from Jesus. Beginning verse 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Jesus is telling them, and he's telling us, that prayer is necessity for living. Prayer is necessity for daily living. We should not go a day in our life without talking to Almighty God. Think of it this way. You and I know that to have healthy bodies, we need to eat properly. That there are some foods that we should avoid if we want a healthy diet. And like some of you, I always wonder, why is chocolate and chocolate cake and anything chocolate unhealthy? I don't get that. But never mind. But there are some foods, and we know that if we want to lose weight, you know, there are certain foods that we need to maintain in our lives. And also the doctors will tell us that we need to exercise. Some doctors will say you need to exercise at least 3 times a week at 30 minutes a time here. That exercise and good eating good food, properly for nutrition, is important to have a healthy lifestyle. Well, child of God, prayer is that important to us in our spiritual lives. We need to always talk and listen to Almighty God. Now, Jesus says here in this passage here that we're to pray at all times. In those days, Jesus, and he would have known this, his disciples would have known this, there were certain times during the day that they would pray. He's changing that. He's basically saying to them, you ought to pray at all times, at all times. The Apostle Paul told the church at Thessalonica to pray without ceasing, to pray without ceasing. You know, prayer is the best form, really, the first form of wireless communication. We never get a busy signal when we talk to God. We never get a delay. We never hear some angel go, if you want to talk to Gabriel, press 1. If you want to talk to Jesus, press 2. You never hear that. You have a direct, automatic connection, an audience with one Almighty God at all times. Think about it. We can get in the habit of talking with God, listening to God, wherever we go. You know, we can pray as we're walking the hallways here. We can pray as we drive with our eyes open, if you please. We can pray as we're at work. We can pray in the mornings. Wherever possible, get in the habit, the discipline, if you please, of talking and listening to God at all times. Let prayer become as instinctive to you as breathing. And it's important that we take prayer seriously, if you please. Years ago, there was a Academy of Music, and they did a research study. They decided that what they were going to do was they were going to, with the help of the teachers, they were going to divide this group of students, these violin students, into 3 different groups. One group, you know, was going to be like the elite violinists. Another group was going to be the good violinists. And the others were probably going to be those violinists who never played anything professional. And they observed these students for several years. And they all started out the same age. But when these students turned age 8, then their practices, their habits began to diversify. And they studied them again for 12 more years. And at the end of 12 years, they found this out. They found out by age 20, the average player had logged in about 4,000 hours of practice time. The good violinist had logged in about 8,000. But the elite violinist had logged in about 10,000 plus hours of practice. And they thought about that, and they compared that with other avenues, other disciplines, if you please, other athletes, other elite people in their fields, and they found out that 10,000 plus hours of practice kind of was the same basics for basketball players, for chess players, for actors, for writers, for concert pianists, and what have you. There seemed to be this common thing here about 10,000 plus hours. They said that it probably it took the brain that long to simulate all that it needed to know in order for these people to achieve that level of expertise. And I got to pondering over that. I'm thinking, you know, if it takes that long to become an expert in anything, how much more do we need to spend in time talking to our Creator? How much more do we need to really take prayer as seriously as God wants us to take it here? Jesus said that you and I are to pray at all times so that we don't lose heart. Scholar A.T. Robertson looked at this verse and he said, literally what that means is that we don't give in to evil. That we're to pray at all times so that we don't give in to evil. That's what he's teaching us here. Think about that for just a moment. The more you and I pray, the more consistent we are in prayer, the more constant we are in talking to Almighty God, the less that we are to yield to evil, which makes sense. I mean, the more that we're praying, the less we're going to yield to temptation. The more that we're praying, the less discouraged we're going to face, which means you and I talking and listening to God right now, what are you facing right now? What's your loved ones facing right now? What is it that in your heart of hearts that you really could use to hear from Almighty God? Sometimes, let's be honest, we give up on prayer. Some of us, we have a prayer list, and we've been praying, and we've got the date down where we started praying. And it may be months, it may be we're into years, and we're still not seeing the results that we hoped that we'd see. And we're thinking, well, I'm just going to give up. I'm going to stop praying about it. Before you do that, please listen carefully. One of the greatest prayer warriors that ever lived was a guy named George Mueller. If you ever get a chance to read about his life, his history, please do so. He was used of God in England to minister to a Christian orphanage. And he was a great man of faith. And many of the things that happened and took place in that Christian orphanage were as a result of his prayers and his faith. And he began, shortly after he became a Christian, he began praying for two friends of his who didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he prayed for them. And he prayed for them. And he prayed for 60 years. Now think about that. From 1964 to 1924, that long, 60 years. 60 years. And one of the friends became a Christian at Mueller's last service. And then with a year after that, his second friend became a Christian. Mueller didn't give up. Because he walked with God. He knew what God could do. He knew the importance of prayer. He knew the importance of faith. You may be sitting here this morning and you have been praying and praying, maybe for a situation, maybe for a loved one to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Please don't give up on that. A little side note. One of my best and dearest friends didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I prayed for him for 17 years. 17 years. And I got the note when I was pastoring in Franklin, North Carolina, that he and his wife were attending a church and he became involved in that church and he gave his heart and life to Christ. And his children are active in serving the Lord in some capacity or another. His wife's been on several mission trips. Child of God, let me encourage you, don't give up. Don't quit praying. Don't quit bringing that person or that family or that burden to Almighty God. Maybe it could be the reason that you and I feel discouraged sometimes in our Christian life is that we've stopped talking to God about the issue. We've stopped talking to God about the matter. Maybe the reason that you and I are in the current state we're in right now is because we gave up on God and decided to take matters in our own hands. How's that working for you? When I was growing up, we used to sing a hymn from time to time, and it words like this: oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. everything. Our Lord Jesus Christ says that we're to pray at all times, and as Robinson reminds us, so that we don't give in to evil. If you're facing a time of discouragement, depression in your life, talk to God. Continually talk to God. Scholar Chuck Swindoll, in writing on this verse, says the following. He said, often a situation with no human answers form the basis upon which God does some of his best work. And he's right. I mean, some of you are facing what easily called an unsolvable situation, but Swindoll says, the situations with no human answers form the basis upon which God does some of his best work. And Swindoll gives Job's life as an illustration. He says, Job endured loss like few of us ever have. His home was destroyed, his children perished, his health ruined, his finances wiped out, and his friends, well, they questioned his reputation. If you go back and read Job, it's like they were saying, Job, you must have done something to anger God because God would not let this happen. And they questioned his relationship. And while going through all these struggles and going through all this emotion and this grief and these aches and pains because of the boils all over his body, and his wife basically said to him, why don't you just curse God and die? And here's what he said. You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Jesus says that you and I are to pray at all times so that we don't lose heart. Swindoll goes on to say this. Your Savior knows you. The bruising, the crushing, and the melting you're enduring are designed to reshape you, not ruin you, end quote. God knows everything about you, and he loves you very, very much. Don't ever doubt that God doesn't love you. If you ever want to doubt that, please don't. Look at the cross and say, he loved me that much that he gave his only begotten son to die on a place for my sin. Now, Luke says he was telling them a parable to show at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. In verse 2 and following, we pray to a just God, beloved. In a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God, did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. For he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I don't fear God and respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And Jesus said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? Our Lord had been discussing with his disciples the coming of the kingdom here, and that his return could be at any given time. And that's still the case. He can come at any given time. I pray that you're prepared and ready for that. But he also talks to us about a just God, a God who is going to right the wrongs that we see in our present evil age. But to help them to understand the justice of God and the mercy and the grace of God, he tells them this parable of this widow here. Now, in those days, a judge could be a local citizen and a prominent citizen, they could hold court in their tents. But Luke tells us two things about this judge, that he doesn't respect God and he doesn't respect man. In other words, you and I would not want to appear before this kind of guy. But the widow, she's got everything going against her. She's a widow. She's all alone. Widows in those days had very little resources that we have today. And she's coming to him, and she's being persistent against her opponent. She's wanting some kind of help. I read not long ago of this Christian lady who had a ministry to AIDS people, AIDS hospice ministry. And she went to this attorney's office because she heard that these attorneys had a benevolence fund that could help her ministry. So she made this appointment. But prior to her coming, these two attorneys met, and neither one of them were what we would call pro-Christian friendly. And they really didn't care about AIDS. In fact, one of them said, you know, Paul, I've got this Christian lady coming to see us about funds, donations to her ministry, but AIDS is not one of my favorite diseases. And so what are we going to do? And they discussed it, and they said, well, let's listen to her appeal, and when she's done, we'll tell her we don't have any funds. And that's what they agreed upon. So this lady comes in, and she's a strong, devout Christian lady, and she sits on the other side of this big mahogany desk of this attorney, and she gives her presentation of how important her ministry is. And Williams looked at her and he said, "Ma'am, we're really touched by your story, but I'm sorry, we just don't have any money." She looked at him and she looked at the other one. She goes, "Well, then let's pray." And so he looks at his partner and they bow their heads, and she has this lengthy prayer. She gets through praying. She looks at him and she starts the presentation all over again, almost word for word. And he looks at her and he looks at his partner and he says, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, we just don't have any money available." She looks at both lawyers again. She goes, "Okay, let's pray again." And he said, "Never mind." He looks up and he said, "Where's my checkbook?" Because of her persistence. Jesus, and the point being is that we don't annoy God. We don't badger a reluctant God. Rather, if an unjust judge is willing to give justice to this widow, how much more will a just God give to those that he loves, those who have faith in him, those who call upon him, those who trust him? Child of God, Jesus, our Lord, tells us that we cry out, that we pray to a God who is a just God. So you and I are to pray at all times so that we don't lose heart, that we don't give in to evil. We pray to a just God. And beloved, we also pray to keep the faith. Look what he says in verse 8. "I tell you, he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" He wants us to continue talking to God whenever we have those moments in our Christian life when we're about to lose heart or to get discouraged. Now, you may be sitting here thinking, "Y'all, I'm about at my wit's end. I'm about to surrender." If you're going to surrender or give up, give it over to God. Surrender it all over to God. I love the story that came out in the 1920s in overseas in Russia. The Russian Bolshevik Revolution was going on, and communism was spreading, and Joseph Stalin and the others were having a chokehold, if you please, on the people. And they sent out these speakers to brainwash them about the value of communism and that Christianity, the church, was dead and it was no longer important. And there was this one auditorium full of people. And this pro-communist speaker was going at it, talking to them about the advantages of being a communist. And he went on for about 3 hours until he finally was exhausted. But he thought he had done well. He thought he had a home run with his delivery. And he had free moments for some question and answers. And there were some people that were raising their hands and they were asking questions and answers. And thinking that he was going to put the seal of success on that night, he said, "Is there anybody else?" And then in the very back, there was a Russian Orthodox priest. And he said to him, he said, "I've got one thing to say." He said, "Christ is risen." And when he said that, all the congregation said, "Christ is risen indeed." Now, Gordon MacDonald was telling that story to an audience, and he said after he told that story that there was an elderly couple that came up to him, and they were from Russia, and they had that rough accent, Russian accent. And the lady looked at him, and she said the following. She goes, "I'm from Russia. Thank you for telling your story. It moved me greatly. But I must tell you one more thing about the story you did not tell. You must tell people that when the crowd said, 'Christ is risen indeed,' they knew they would all go to jail," end quote. Now think about that. We have the opportunity right here to worship God freely without fear of persecution. You can say, you know, "Christ is risen indeed. Nobody's going to come in here." Which then begs the question I want to ask you. Are you in it for the long haul? Are you following the Lord Jesus Christ for the long haul? Are you in it for the long haul? Are you in the fulfilling the vision and the transitions that God wants to do in and through this campus? Are you in it for the long haul? Or maybe you're battling with discouragement. Maybe sometimes, especially you who are dedicated volunteers, and week in and week out, you're burdened about this church. Sometimes it may be only you or a few others who seem to show up and do all the work, and you get discouraged, and the child of God don't be, because the God who loves you, who gave his only begotten son to die on the cross for your sins, knows exactly what you're doing, and anything and everything that you do for him through this ministry and through the community as he leads, it's not in vain. Because God's always at work at all times. Just because you don't see him doesn't mean he's taking a day off or a moment off. He's always at work. There was a young man who stood on a street corner, and for 2 years he passed out gospel tracts because God would burden him about the lost. And he would engage in conversations, and he would pass out these gospel tracts, and he was seeing no fruits of his labor, nothing, no interest whatsoever. So one day he was just overwhelmed. The enemy got a hold of him with doubt and discouragement, and so he quit doing it. Well, he went back a couple of years after that to that location, and there was a guy standing out there where he used to stand giving out gospel tracts and talking to people about Jesus. I thought, well, I'll strike up a conversation with this guy and see what this is about. And he said to this first person, the first Christian, elderly Christian, he said, yeah, about 2 years ago I was walking by here and this guy gave out a gospel tract and I read it and I became a Christian. And after I became a Christian, I would come back and try. I was going to thank him for his ministry, but I never could find him. And finally, I resolved that maybe he just died because I never could find him. And so I decided I was going to take his place. And deeply touched the first guy who thought he wasn't making a difference. And he revitalized his heart. And he began to pass out the tracts again the very next day. You may be thinking, especially you who labor week in and week out in this church revitalization, church plant ministry, am I making a difference? Yes, you are. You're making an eternal difference, known only to God and maybe a few people. So keep at it. Don't let the enemy weigh you down with depression and discouragement. Rather, any time and every time that you begin to sink under the weight of depression and discouragement, do what the Bible says here. And what does he say? He says, pray at all times so that you don't lose heart. Pray at all times so that you don't give in to the evil one. Because, beloved, you're praying to a just God. You're praying to a God who wants you to keep the faith. Now, that is to say, if you have a personal relationship with him through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, let me give you a very, very simple model here, a simple outline. Admit to God that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Why do I say that? Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody. There's not a person in here, maybe Zach, but anyway, there's not a person in here who's never sinned, okay? You can thank me later. But the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we admit to God that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And we don't just give the lip service. No, we mean business with God. And that is, we change the direction of our life. After we admit to God that we're sinners in need of a Savior, we change the direction. That's called repentance. We were heading in one direction, yielded to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, agreed with God that we're sinners, and we repented. We're no longer running away, living away from God. We were walking toward God. And we believe in what the Bible says about Jesus Christ from cover to cover. Yes, we know John 3:16, but do we also know that whosoever surely meaneth me? That in that little phrase there, instead of whosoever, you could put your name in there and know that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, and you put your name in there, believes in him, has everlasting life. You'll never perish, but you'll have everlasting life. And then when you do that, you also, you want to make it public. Why do I say public? Because Jesus said, if we'll not profess him publicly before men, he'll not profess us publicly before our Father who's in heaven. We should not be ashamed of the one who gave his life to die on the cross for our sins. Indeed, the Bible says this, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For the heart a person believes resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses resulting in salvation. Now, I want you to pray about this. I also want you to pray, as Jesus said, if you're facing discouragement or depression right now, and the instrumentals are going to come up here momentarily, this is your opportunity. They have nice rubber mats down here for you to kneel here at the altar and talk it over with God. And begin to make that commitment to God. God, I'm going to pray at all times so that I don't give over to the evil one. Or God, I agree, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Let's talk with God. Will you bow your head and your heart with me, please? Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to talk to you, the creator of the universe, even now, to talk to you, our Heavenly Father, through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave your only Son to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you that you've given us your word, a love letter, to help us through the tough times of our Christian walk. I pray, Father, for these beloved people this day, Lord, that you would hear their hearts as they draw near to you. And whoever may be battling with discouragement, depression right now, that this would be the time, Father, that they sense your encouraging presence. And for those of who do not know Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, this is the moment where they come up here and talk to the leadership and say, I want to be a Christian. In your name we pray. Amen.